The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, everybody. It is the Thursday, January 7th edition of the Lori and Julia Show. One day after one of the oddest afternoons I think any of us have ever witnessed. And I know we're usually a place you turn to get away from serious, uncomfortable news, but
This has to be just talked about because it was a heavy, hard day. I mean,
for everybody,
it was just so upsetting to see what happened in the Capitol, the heart of our democracy. I mean, I woke up with a headache.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. I was like really upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
I cried with my mom. How about you?
Well, I can't stop crying.
Okay.
This is my crying week. I'm feeling like I think. Everything. We're all so weary. We're all so exhausted that yesterday, you know, after everything that we've been going through since last March, it's absolutely exhausting. And I feel like we need to come together as citizens of this country, as human beings, as family members, as friendships, as partners, as everything. And somehow we are bigger and we are better than what happened yesterday. And I feel like civility and bipartisanship has to return because I don't think anybody from all sides right now is trusting what's going on in our country. And we need to be able to have dialogue again that it isn't harsh words or lashing out or that you're wrong or...
Or storming the Capitol and carrying a Confederate flag, which has never been in the U.S. Capitol building.
It's just gotten too out of hand, and I think today everybody is reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
I think last night seeing the Senate come together was hopeful, and I feel hopeful that we are going to have a change of tide and of language that's being used, and that
we are having a
transfer of power, and somehow civility matters and kindness matters, and that. Wow. It was so shocking what happened yesterday that you feel scared. You feel sick to your stomach. I have friends who still don't believe this election was done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, close friends of mine. And there's such a difference in opinions out there for everybody. And whatever side you're on or whatever, at the end of the day, we're Americans. And I just pray really seriously there's so much pain going on in the world in other parts outside of this.
Mm-hmm.
Heard so many horrible, sad stories in the last 24 hours of friends of mine. Kids are sick. Parents are sick. Something terrible has happened.
Yeah.
And that we can't get out of ourselves to look at the bigger cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's painful. And I think we're exhausted. And I just hope as a country, we can just really start to come together and mend. That's my hope.
Yeah, I agree with you, Julia. And I think, you know, I was struck at, and I'm not a fan of Lindsey Graham, but I was struck at when he was on the Senate. And I mean, Bevy Smith on Twitter was kind of funny. She's like, never in all my life did I think on a Wednesday night I'd ever be sit and transfixed watching an electoral vote process happen, which has happened many times for people I've both voted for and people I didn't vote for, but I've never watched it. But when Lindsey Graham said, you know, President Trump, I wanted you to win. I prayed that you would win. But you didn't win.
Right.
And it was a fair election. he didn't say sorry, better luck next time. But that's kind of what it is, because for the last 4 years, you know, Trump was in office. He was the president. He lost the popular vote, but he won the electoral. So he was the legitimate president. There wasn't any storming. This has been a legitimate election, and it wasn't a landslide. Biden it won by 7 million.
Yeah.
But he still won by that much. There was an electoral college, the same amount that
Hillary
Trump won
lost
over.
By,
that's right. And it is better luck next time. That's kind of the politics. You don't win forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the election wasn't stolen. And I guess there was a feeling that, you know, let Trump, you know, ease into the fact that he lost, because he's historically in everything. He doesn't like losing. Well, nobody likes losing. I mean, people are dealing with losses of people they loved from COVID. People are dealing with losses of jobs,
of whole
of relationships, of whole businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have to deal with losing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a fact. And so people who were not a fan of Trump, we just sucked it up the last 4 years. That was the way it is. He was the president.
Right.
Now
The tide is changing.
It is changing,
right.
And let's give President Biden a chance. Let's see. I mean, I saw Klobuchar talking to someone, one of the late night shows, and she said, you know, when they were really scared, I mean, people could have, I'm surprised more people weren't hurt.
I am too.
A lot of dangerous things happened, but she said they were all in a room, Democrats and
laying
Republicans,
on the floor.
But they, in this other room, and they had to talk. And she's like, you know what? We do have more in common. And there was this like real vulnerable sense of
community.
Community.
Like, we're on this. We've worked together for, we've known each other for years.
Right.
Let's figure this
Rocco,
out.
Rocco, how about you? Was Bruno aware of what was going on yesterday or not?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I didn't think he was playing video games for much of it, but he caught some peeks at it. And, and we're going to listen shortly to, a clip from GMA about how to sort of talk to your kids about this sort of stuff. The thing that we talked to them about was that these people that did that, they really believe these things.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't give
they're
them
being
the right
told
to do that.
I agree. And so what we told him, you know, like last week, he said to me something that he saw on the internet that wasn't true. He's like, I heard the Kansas City Chiefs are going to get Marshawn Lynch, or they signed Marshawn Lynch. And I said, really? I didn't hear that. Where did you hear that? And he pointed it out. It was just some random YouTuber or some random Twitter guy. And I said, you know what? You've got to learn to check your sources.
Right.
And know
I love
where you're
that
getting
you're teaching
your facts,
the 9-year-old,
you know?
Yes.
And I said, that's what's going on here. You know, like these people, if you look at their Twitter feeds and you look at what is going, they're being told, you know, they believe these things because that's what they're being told. But you got to look at your facts. Are you getting your facts from newspapers of record that could get sued if they told lies? Or are you getting it from some rando website that you've never heard of before?
Right. That's an interesting fact that you bring up, because the algorithms give people the information they want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make you work very hard to find out the facts. And it is a matter of all of this social media. That's kind of the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't believe it, you're being fed it over and over and over again. And it's quick and it's easy and it's in little bites that you can absorb, right or wrong.
Right.
And that, I think, is a big issue as well. So that's kind of interesting that you're like, that trade is not going to happen. They're not going to get that
pick. It was a learning lesson.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it as a kid, though, a kid.
Let's play the thing from GMA. I mean, basically all the morning shows, it was nonstop coverage of everything happened yesterday and what is going on and what are the consequences to these people who really were trespassing and causing mayhem and destruction and totally against the law. This is an expert that Robin Roberts had on this morning.
How do we talk to our children and families about the violence that we've seen and what is going on politically?
Well, first we want to validate that these images are really disturbing. It's okay for kids to feel scared and unsettled. We're not supposed to see chaos in a place where we're supposed to see stability. But the other thing is, as parents, we've been having this conversation for ages. We've been telling our kids, use your words, not your hands. And that's basically what we need to tell them about what we've seen happen. In this country, we have the right to peacefully protest. We don't have the right to be violent. So we as the parents have tools to talk about this.
All right,
parents,
well, thank
I know
you.
That they
thank
are
you.
Going to be using those.
So that I love that. Use your words, not your hands.
Yeah, isn't I mean, that the age-old thing?
But so often I feel like I give you the middle finger or something, you know. We use our hands sometimes.
But that is using your hand as a form of words.
Well, there you go.
Okay, all right, listen, when we come back, it is our story that we can't get enough of. We'll be right back. You're wondering who that is. The song is Bang. The band is AJR. Maybe it's the other way around.
But it's boys' names. Andrew, Jerry.
Oh, is that what it is?
Robert.
Ricardo.
Okay.
Yeah,
Ricardo.
Remember, it's the name
it.
Of
three brothers.
Yes.
Three brothers.
Okay. Andrew, James, Robert or something.
Okay.
Because this came up like on Monday and I'm like, who's AJR?
Yeah, right.
And Rocco looked it up and it's three brothers.
It and is. And I instantly forgot.
I know, but I just remember, just go with, just
but I like
initials.
That song.
I do. It reminds me of Imagine Dragons a
kind
little
of,
bit.
Kind of. It does.
Yeah.
Okay. So Julia has finally finished The Flight Attendant.
Oh my gosh.
On HBO. Rocco, did you finish it over
the
holiday?
I did.
Okay.
All right. First of all,
once I figured out that HBO Max on the TV thing, once Casey got that.
And it's back
out.
On Roku.
And back on Roku.
We went through. Yep.
Anyway, I mean, I just absolutely loved it. And I have been really looking forward to talking about it because I really thought that the last three episodes of that show.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, built and built and built, because you have this crazy show that was a murder mystery, a romance, and a surrealist adventure with a very flawed lead character.
Alcoholic, chronic.
Yeah, Cassie, brilliantly played by Kelly Cuoco.
I'm in love with Kelly Cuoco. I've decided, we never watched Big Bang, so I don't know her from anything.
Well, and she hasn't, on that show and made a ton of money.
A ton.
Which now is allowing her to be like a Reese Witherspoon and produce and get her own stuff going on.
And the only experience I know is us messing up her name or me on the red carpet and her
and
giving...
And every day,
Kelly Cuoco.
And giving Cuckoo is what you called her on the red carpet.
And the look, like, who the hell's that?
Yeah.
And
Kelly Cuoco, we love you!
I know. So, but it delivered. I mean, Rocco, did you not love that?
And you're right. I didn't know anything about her either. She played Harley Quinn on the TV show, I guess, but wow. I mean, the depths of her acting was way more than I thought possible.
The comedic stuff she delivered, the drama, the facial expressions, believable, the vulnerability. This show, if people have access to HBO Max, which I might have for one more day, watch it. It's so good. I thought that was so worth it because we, Rocco, initially read the books. You were
and I did not, right.
Lori
right.
was on a trip.
For what?
When you read The Flight Attendant.
Oh, yeah. I read
you
it
were
in
on
day.
You were on a trip and we didn't even have Chris Bohelian, who wrote it, booked yet. So you came home from one of your trips and gave us your list of 20 books you read. And this was one of them. And then we're like, should you book them? But you already even read the book. And I'm like, so I got it. And he was on in the book. It was just, it's so different than the TV show. But it was one that you could appreciate the difference because it was so creative.
So creative how they did it.
And she really, and the characters, I fell in love. And I never watched Girls with Zsa Zsa Mamet.
Zosha, Zosha. Oh, she was one of Lena. She was one of the four friends on Girls.
Right, was so great. And then Michael Huseman, who we just
beautiful Nashville Game
P.R.
of Thrones.
P.R. Knight, who we haven't seen. He's Minnesota's own. Who I don't feel like we've seen.
Yeah, he went to St. Thomas for a year.
Yeah, and went at the
Children's
Guthrie.
Theater. Or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this description? It was one of the best pulpy, brazen, whodunit murder mysteries with the hard drinking, horny flight attendant Cassie at her finest.
The finest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it kept you on your edge. And the last three, like you said, Lori, there's eight episodes, or I think there's Yeah, there's 8 episodes total, or maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That were so compelling and so twisted, and everything I thought was wrong. And we read the book. Yeah, I couldn't even remember who did it.
But it veered from the book.
Completely.
But, I mean, the Rome, that when she, you know, that in the last episode, some of the epiphany, of course, the way it's left.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it's been renewed for a second season. Yes.
And you can see where it would be good. I mean, they have to really go back to the drawing board, but I'm telling you.
It's just so unique and clever.
That was a fun one. Mm-hmm. That was a fun. I was happy to have that.
The other thing about the flight attendant that made it intriguing, we do love
travel.
We love the travel. We do love the travel. And it's Cassie Bowden. Her bad luck begins on a one-night stand from hell, basically, in Bangkok. But she does make these unbelievable bad decisions. And you're like, what are you doing? But yet, at the same time, that was a key part of advancing the story about how she was so flawed. And she did run away from herself. And she drank and drank and drank. And there was a reason why.
Right.
The drinking and... I don't know. I just think she's like one of the best
flawed
heroines that we've had, we've seen on TV. And in that way, as much as I enjoyed like watching The Undoing on HBO, hands down, Flight Attendant was so much more satisfying, because The Undoing was satisfying in the sense that watching Nicole Kidman and watching Hugh Grant, you know, they're acting, they're but it, not together as a whole, because the ending, you know, was a little weak.
Did you watch that, Rocco?
I did not, no.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it was not, it was good, but it was like, I was, by the end, I was watching, not really so much caring who done it, but what coats.
Yeah. And, the fashions and things like that.
Yeah, kind of the like chew up the scenery acting that Hugh
Grant
was
doing. Did Casey watch this?
The flight attendant? Yeah. No, but I think he would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think some guys dropped out at the beginning.
The first episode is so surrealist and weird.
It is. Mm-hmm. But Rocco, you hung in there, and would you give it like a good grade?
Yeah, I'd watch the next season. I'm looking forward to see where the Rosie Perez subplot goes.
Right.
I mean, because the premise of the show is it basically, and it was the premise of the book, it has to kind of, because who amongst us maybe has not woken up from a night of some kind of debauchery and just said, oh, good Lord, what has happened? But it made us...
With a dead person next to you in bed. Well, I'm going to say me. I have not done that.
But it made us confront how we would think if we did wake up and somebody was dead.
And you're in a foreign country.
In the hotel room, and what would we do? And it takes this outlandish crime scenario and somehow makes it very believable.
It was so satisfying.
So satisfying.
Thumbs up, you guys, the flight attendant.
And she also, not to take anything away from the coats on The Undoing, but Cassie's coats on the flight attendant were pretty great. Vulture devoted a whole story of the 10 greatest coats Cassie wore.
I think she's phenomenal, though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited to see her in more things.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, when we come back, we've got Neil Justin from the Star Tribune with us to tell us what's on TV this week that we should be watching.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. I love that song, Therefore I Am. It's just such a strange, groovy vibe. This song by Billy.
I didn't look at the board that said, Therefore I Am. Uh-huh. I thought it said, I'm not your friend.
That does kind of sound what she's singing.
She says that at one point, right?
She does. Yeah. I'm not your friend, because I thought that's totally what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Well, Neil's going to be calling us.
He's under deadline right now.
They said, yo, call us. Yo. I just talked to him a little while ago. So who knows? Stuff could have happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so did anyone... I thought this was a little interesting last night. Is that ABC, CBS, and NBC all stopped regular programming to go and cover what was happening in the Senate about, you know...
Certifying the election.
And on Fox last night, it was the masked dancer.
Yeah.
Did anyone catch
that? Wasn't Fox News. That was just...
No, just the Fox...
Masked dancer followed by Name That Tune.
Rocco...
Yes, because I told you I was going to watch Name That Tune.
Yes, and?
Oh, I didn't, because I didn't think it was on, but I did watch the swear word show on Netflix.
Tell us.
Okay,
I liked Neil. Neil's here.
Yeah. All right,
we got Neil. We'll talk
about that in a second.
Yeah. Neil Justin, TV critic from the Star Tribune, welcome to the program.
Hi, everyone. I hear you talking about The Masked Dancer.
No one watched it, but it was there.
You should watch next week, because I suspect that the next unveiling will show that the masked dancer is Donnie Michaels.
Donnie Love
would love to be on the masked dancer.
I can't even tell you how much he would love that.
I think he would.
Perfect.
He'd be gliding around trying to dance.
And for the first time, the judges will be stumped.
Right.
Who is this man with all this hair?
It is amazing how they always seem to know who the celebrities are, even if they're obscure.
Right.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying it's amazing.
Yeah, okay. Well, Neil, before we get to some of the new shows, and you had a wrap-up, and of course we love every day reading in the Star Tribune what your critic picks are for the
love
night,
it.
But I was really struck last night. I don't think we've seen this on the late-night shows. All of the late-night hosts, none of them did their intro to their show. They all just kind of the camera cut to them. I mean... Right. We've not seen this since maybe 9/11, I guess.
Yeah, there's been a couple instances. I think some of the mass shootings and so on. There's been a more somber tone. But this certainly stuck out, because I think a lot of people, including myself, kind of took a big breath after the elections and said, well, the craziness is going to be over for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not over.
Right.
It's not over. And the host reflected that last night. It was pretty interesting. I didn't see all of the monologues, but I watched three or four of them. And maybe the most interesting was Seth Meyers, who went on live, which was telling. Most of the time, if people don't know, the late night shows are taped in the late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They usually tape around 4 or 5 o'clock. Depending on whether they're in New York or Los Angeles. Seth is in New York, so he went on at 12:30 their time. And a very somber, you know, Seth has been killing it. He has the best written monologue out of all the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And they put that together pretty quickly. No jokes. As he said at the end, tune in tomorrow for jokes. Called for an impeachment. I don't know how strong the language was from Colbert. I heard he had a very sharp monologue, but it was a reminder that we still do turn to late night television. It's the last thing before many of us go to bed, to sort of get a wrap up of the day. And usually we're looking for a laugh, but sometimes we're looking for something a little more poignant.
Yeah, I thought, you know, also Jimmy Fallon didn't speak long about it, but they didn't run an intro, and he really spoke from the heart, and I think he, of any of the shows, has really gotten, I don't know, he seems to have gotten more in touch with being a truer person, or we see the real Jimmy Fallon
during the pandemic.
It's hard to tell with Jimmy, because he's so upbeat and so enthusiastic. And so emotional on a nightly basis, you start to think, well, this is a little bit plastic. I mean, nobody's this excited about life. So you question his genuineness, at least I did for a number of years. But look, that just may be who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this long enough that I think the cracks would start to show if he was faking it. I think he's just an emotional guy. And when he really likes something, He's overboard about it. When he's really moved by something, that shows too. And it certainly showed last night. He seemed genuinely shaken.
Yeah.
And I thought did some pretty good interviews. He's not the best interviewer in late night, but I saw his talk with Dan Rather.
It was great.
That I thought was pretty good. And, you know, he is who he is. Mm-hmm. And I think that really hits home. Somebody who throws a party every night, which is basically what that show tries to do. When he doesn't throw a party, then that really means something.
Right. Yeah. You know, and both Lori and I were not that big of fans of his because we hated the games, all the games on his show.
Yeah.
But that kind of all stopped in the pandemic. And you kind of see the stripped down version of someone who really is really likable. And I like the enthusiasm. I like the upbeatness because it's been a hard time and it's been a long time for a lot of people. I enjoy that. And
you know, that's one of the reasons I turned back to Conan O'Brien during the pandemic. I'd sort of forgotten about him. I mean, I would tune in every once in a while, and he wasn't doing that many new shows. He was only broadcasting, you know, three or four times a week at half an hour. But he probably talked less about politics than anybody else in late night and sort of retained his goofiness and his lightness. And I really needed that over the last few months. And I was reminded just what a quick wit he is. He's really a treasure. And when he retires from the late night regime this year, later this year, he's going to be missed. Yeah, I know he's still going to be around, but he's been a real relief. You know, it's interesting how much some of these late night people have changed in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Jimmy Kimmel used to be somebody who didn't talk a lot of politics.
Right.
He was very different from others. That's changed. That's changed. He's been one of the most passionate anti-Trump critics. I think, you know, ever since his son was very sick, I think that really changed Jimmy a lot. He was always had a serious side, but the whole tenor of that show has changed.
Right.
Colbert has embraced politics and sharp criticism more and more.
I find him. I turn away from Colbert because I find it just too visceral. I just don't like. It feels so angry to me that I don't enjoy it. And like you said about Conan, we need happy places. And it just, Colbert's the same every night and in his mockery and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, please give us something new and fresh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's I totally get that. And it really does differ from person to person. You know, Leno, during the Leno-Letterman wars, Leno came out on top for that very reason. He was more of an escape than Dave was. Dave was somebody who you tuned in to see how cranky he was going to be.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. But yet he gave
good
interviews.
And I enjoyed that, but I understood people who didn't.
Yep.
Who didn't want to hear that, who didn't want to hear somebody grousing about his lousy day or his insecurities. They wanted something more upbeat. And that's what people have with Fallon. And they also have those choices now as well. But everybody has been angry and somber from time to time. And it's interesting, if you look at the history of late night, Johnny Carson avoided that almost always. There were probably, in his long run, only 3 or 4 nights where he sort of threw away the script and dealt with what was going on in the world, which is pretty startling considering he was on the air during the 60s.
Right.
Yeah.
But he criticized everybody equally. You didn't know his real politics.
Right.
There's a special on, I believe it's on the Peacock streaming service, that looks back at the week Carson gave the show to Harry Belafonte. And because Carson didn't feel comfortable or didn't feel he was the right person to talk about civil rights, this was right before King was assassinated. And Harry had all those guests on and had those conversations that Carson either felt he was not the right person or wasn't comfortable having. And it's a fascinating documentary that tells you a lot about Johnny, but also tells you a lot about those times.
Cool. That sounds interesting.
By the way, thank you for doing a critic's pick on, I just thought it was absolutely terrific, the Jimmy Carter Rock and Roll President, which was on CNN and it's replaying and on demand. That was so good.
Yeah, it was really good. And it reminds you, there was a time when the White House was the coolest music venue in the world.
Yeah.
His interests were so broad. We kind of think of him, if you think about his music taste at all, as a country guy.
Yeah.
Southern rock, Willie Nelson, the Allman Brothers. But he really loved jazz and blues and loved Dylan. There's a point in the documentary where I guess he and his son were not really talking. They were having a beef, and but they communicated through Dylan lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating individual in terms of his musical breadth and how much musicians were a part of his campaign when he had, you know,
money.
Against all odds,
yeah,
became the president. Really great doc.
Have we ever seen Bob Dylan talk that much on screen about like somebody else? Casey looked at me and goes, he's saying so many nice things.
It's interesting. I had this conversation with John Bream, our music critic. How odd it is when Bob decides to do an interview and when he doesn't. There'll be things that you think would be obvious for him to comment on that he doesn't. And then there are things that he agrees to. Dylan did a Pawn Busters or Pawn Star episode. He appeared on Dwarmer and Greg once. he has a really weird decision-making process and to what he's going to work on and what he isn't. It's always unpredictable with him. I was pleasantly surprised that he was in the Carter documentary and actually had some pretty interesting things to say.
Neil, can you stay with us? Because we've got to talk to you about a couple of new shows that are out that you're, talking about. We just have to have a little bit more TV. And, of course, we want you to see if you agree with Julia and I on our, on the 64 million other people who are in love with,
Bridgerton.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. We have Neil just.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Kristen, who is the Storch-Bruins TV critic. He also does cover other media and comedy. And Neil, you got to tell us about this show. It's getting promoed like crazy on NBC. I Love L.A. That's what we want to know. Are we watching that tonight?
I Love L.A. I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry. Is that the mayor?
It's called Mr. Mayor.
It's called Mr. Mayor.
Lori read the headline, which is confusing in your article.
Yes, I watched about three episodes of it, and I liked it. It comes from Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, who did the great Kimmy Schmidt show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Tina created 30 Rock. And it's very much like those shows. A lot of jokes flying at you very quickly, kind of like The Simpsons. You could probably play it back and realize you missed three or four jokes every 10 minutes. It's silly, but it's not, goofy silly. It's really smart silly. And it's got a terrific cast. It's such a surprise to see Holly Hunter in a sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But of course, Holly Hunter is one of our great actors. She can do anything. And she's very funny as sort of this militant progressive who is a deputy mayor to Ted Danson, who, again, is somebody who's very consistent and very funny. Great, great cast. You know, it's not quite there yet. Most sitcoms take a little while, yeah. And you have to know the characters, and the writers have to know the characters. But this show has all kinds of promise. I'm really rooting for it.
Oh, good. So it's 7 o'clock tonight on Channel 11. It's called Mr. Mayor. That sounds like fun. So it's a half an hour sitcom?
It's a half hour sitcom, but I love your idea of calling it I Love L.A.
That's, well, if you look at your newspaper, the way they did things, like the next one is clowning around.
But the name of the show
is Go Big Show.
Yeah, well, that's my fault. I try to put little funny little headlines above each pick rather than just saying the show. Maybe we should just say the show.
Well, no, I like your idea. All right, I watched Snoop Dogg. He had a hilarious encounter with Anderson Cooper and Andy on their New Year's Eve show, and that was the first I'd heard of this big Go Big Show, and I was just like, why am I intrigued, and why do I want to watch this show?
Well, you want to watch it because of Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
He is really, really funny, and you know, speaking of late night hosts, Jimmy Kimmel, I think, discovered this quite a few years ago, just how funny Snoop Dogg is, and started using him for a lot of comedy bits. And Snoop's reactions, for those who don't know, this big show is basically America's Got Talent. But with Snoop Dogg as one of the judges, his reaction to some of the novelty acts is pretty hilarious. He's a comedy gem. He's I think, a better comedian than he is a rapper.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is at another show tonight, and this is at 8 o'clock on TBS. It's called Go Big Show with Snoop.
Yes.
Gosh. All right, so there's a lot of them now.
How about Bridgerton? Neil, were you a fan? Did you love the whole everything, or did you skip it, or what? Tell us the truth.
I watched the whole thing. It was okay. It's from the Shonda Rhimes factory, so it's very much a soap opera, although, you know, it's kind of slow going. It's basically about finding love in, I can't remember what era it takes place
Regency
in.
Regency era, England.
Yeah, but it's got modern day music in it and sort of modern day language. Everybody looks terrific. The leading man in it is a real honk. I can't think of his name now.
Oh, reggae Jean Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're already, I saw somebody's already pushing for him to be the next James Bond.
Yes.
So he's very handsome, and it's kind of fun if you like period pieces. I do warn people that it looks like something that would be on PBS, and it certainly starts off that way. But when they start to have sex, it gets pretty raunchy.
Oh, it's so great. That episode 6, I could watch 7,000 times.
Yeah, it's kind of jarring, though, right? Because you kind of think you're watching Masterpiece Theater, and then all of a sudden it's Cinemax at night. It's a little more graphic than I expected. But then again, it's from the Shonda Rhimes world, so maybe I shouldn't have been surprised.
And there's 8 books to draw from, and they have confirmed that the second season is starting filming the second week in March in England. That's been confirmed.
Well, it's certainly worth checking out if you like period pieces with a little twist. If you like that genre, there's also the second season of Dickinson coming out with Haley Steinfeld as Emily Dickinson, and it's very much that same idea of taking a period piece but modernizing it with language and
that's on Apple Plus. Music.
That's on Apple Plus.
And you like that?
It's okay. I mean, it's a bit of a novelty act. It gets a little bit tiring. Oh, they're talking like Valley Girls. Okay, I get what they're doing. But Haley Steinfeld's a real star. And look, if it means that her fans learn who Emily Dickinson is and go back and check out her work, then it's worth it.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. So what, you also say that another one is,
The Hustler with Craig Ferguson in a smoking jacket.
You did.
I kind of liked it.
I'm not sure it's something I want to watch every week. It sort of reminded me, people forget about the show, The Mole. Do you remember The Mole with your buddy Anderson Cooper?
Yes.
People forget he was a game show host, too. Donald Trump wasn't the only one.
Right.
This one, I don't know. I mean, I like Craig Ferguson. I think it's got a little bit too much going on. And the trivia questions are so easy.
They are easy. I got them.
If you want a challenge, watch another new game show, The Chase. Where the questions are really hard. This is based on a British game show, and then it was adapted for Game Show Network. But now it's on network TV, and it's got a bunch of the old Jeopardy champions as these masterminds that people have to try to out-duel mentally. And, boy, the questions are really hard, and they come fast and furious. And if you want to be challenged, it's really good.
Yeah, I saw that with Ken Jennings and some other people on it.
How about you got any, like, do you have a really good drama or crime show that you're excited about or you know about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm excited about. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to have a chance to see it this weekend and interview some of the stars, and that's WandaVision with Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany. And it appears to be, it's based on some Marvel comics, but it appears to be about a woman who imagines herself in various sitcoms over the years. There's a lot of buzz about it. I love Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
I'm excited to see that, and I'll have a story and a preview of that running next Friday. Haven't seen it yet, but I've got my fingers crossed that it'll be good.
Where will we see WandaVision? Where are we watching?
Disney Plus.
Boy. Honest to Pete.
Neil, are you ever going to do a story about the fatigue or how we're going to keep track of all these streaming things? It's really getting mind-boggling.
Yeah, Discovery Plus goes on air, I believe, this week. Mm-hmm. There's another one. There's a lot, but I think we're seeing some already, cash out. Quibi is going away if it's not gone already.
Right.
So they're not all going to last, but... Yeah. Look, I'm always one who feels the more choices, the better.
Yeah, okay. Well,
so I've got no problem with it. We do have to figure out our bills.
Yeah, we do.
it's hard to afford everything. But then again, a lot of these streaming services are $5.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much.
And right now, that seems like a bargain.
Yeah. Neil, it was so great. You can read Neil in the Star Tribune and at Neil Justin on
Twitter.
On Twitter. And thank you for your time today.
Hey, thank you guys. Be safe.
Yep. All right.